In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, and particularly you, Reverend Father, doctors and brothers. To refresh your memory, I remind you that the text today is the consequence, the story of the consequence to the evangelical preachers for the healing of the crippled. When this crippled looked to Peter for some handout, Peter was truly holy church. He said, "Silver and gold we don't have, but what we have we will give you." He blessed the man in the name of Jesus and healed this cripple. The cripple leaped to his feet, danced around the temple as if he'd had a Baptist conversion, praised God and sang glory to God. This is what was offensive to the officials. The sermon this morning is about the text that was read. This is what the sermon is about. What a danger it is to you to be a gospel preacher, especially when you work in the midst of people who are building their own church and kingdom. That's what the sermon is about. The point of the sermon is very simple. My desire for you and for me is that we learn to have the courage to be gospelers. Such courage that we are full of the Holy Spirit to shake the place. That's the point of the sermon. I'm not going to be desiring that you be big windbags like balloons overinflated with hot air and call that the Spirit, but that the Holy Spirit fills you with courage to be gospelers. It is very dangerous to be a gospeler, to be an evangelical preacher. God's holy church is always being built and exists in the midst of religious builders who are constructing their own kingdom, their own church. Therefore, it is very dangerous for you to be a preacher or an apostle or a speaker of the Holy Gospel who freely gives away in the name of Jesus blessings that are so big you can't comprehend them. Not merely to heal ankle bones, but to heal souls that have osteomyelitis and can't walk in the way of God, to give them health that is forever. Not even the grave and rotten bones can destroy that health. When you turn that power loose by your own poverty, we don't have silver and gold to pass out. You turn that gospel loose freely. All you have is a word to give them. And the grace of the crucified and risen Jesus does its work. That's dangerous. There is, of course, not much personal danger to you if what you're doing is passing out silver and gold. That's really what the church ought to be doing. Pampers and groceries. And, of course, give them clothing. Give them old, used white men's clothing or whatever they might need. But this building of the gospel goes on in the midst and in the presence of religious kingdom builders who know what to do with that precious stone, Jesus Christ, our rock. They can spot him a mile off. And when they get their hands on him, they dump him. That's what they think of the stone. It is precious to God. It is the rock of our salvation. But these religious architects, in the midst of whom we live, are builders who have their own plan for how the church grows and is strong. Their plan is very simple. Kill the messengers of the Lord. Kill the son of the owner. And then the kingdom will be ours. Finally, we can do the right thing with it, what really ought to be done. What gives these builders power and authority, of course, is that they have the book. They can point to the book. They have the worship. They can point to the temple, the liturgy. And they hold the high offices. By blood or by vote, they have the office. They know how to keep the kingdom clean and pure. They know how to make it grow. They have plans, which include a steady increase of the flow of silver and gold, for they know the principles of growth and finance and promotion. The coming of the crucified Jesus in his impoverished preaching, a man, a child, a father, a mother, who has no real clout in terms of social change or principles of power, him they dump, for he is unfit to be building this church of God. What can gospel preachers do in the face of such church builders? What can those sent by Jesus with the gospel of the crucified and risen Jesus, what can they do in the face of such zeal that has its programs, such power that has its schemes, as these master builders have? First, such preachers are freely to give away the blessing and the healing word of Jesus as freely as they have received it from him. For this poor, suffering, despised servant of the Lord is the one who has made us rich in our poverty. Give it away. Second, these gospelers stand erect before the threats of the master builders, and they stand there with a lordly courage that is in the will of Jesus. It is the will of Jesus that we are where he is, on the cross and at God's right hand. That's the will of the Father. And the courage of the gospeler is to be there where he is. The promise that lies in the threats of the master builders is this: you will save your life and you'll go up the ladder if you will be silent about this sermon of Jesus. Don't preach that anymore, about the healing and the blessing and the forgiving and the saving. Drop it, and you will save your life. But the gospeler stands freely to bless in the name of Jesus. He will not transfer his confidence from the saving Jesus to these lying promises of salvation from the master builders. No. He has two words, he says. First, a word about the crucifixion of Jesus. A word that kills the arrogant plan of the master builders. You crucified the Lord. And he is Jesus of Nazareth. God raised him from the dead. You and God are enemies. That's the first word they say. And they say to them, if you, for your part, want to go on as God's enemy, then go on. We, for our part, will pay attention to this Jesus. You decide. We are preaching. But they also have a second word that they say. It is a word freely to bless, to heal, to forgive. In the name of Jesus, there is no other name under heaven. There is no name other than this name of Jesus. When God wants to save people, he gives Jesus. God does not want to be known anywhere else. It is only through this man, this Jew, born of Mary, that God has made his own man for our salvation. They say, there is one name for salvation, no other. Come on in and be saved. Thirdly, they gather together to pray, and they burst out with praise to God for the suffering. Only a few know this. Only gospelers know this. For they praise God for the roaring and the raging of the master builders, the power brokers, the ones who have the programs for their kingdom, The ones who dump the rock out into the garbage heap because they've got a kingdom they're building and it's going to be theirs. They rejoice at the roaring because it testifies to them that Jesus is the one who delivers, not the roaring against God. They pray. They pray as they listen to the promises. This is how courage and fullness of the Spirit grows. The promise is like the breath of God, the Spirit giving us Jesus. That's what the Spirit talks about. He does not make hullabaloo about himself. He talks Jesus so that we hear it. The breath of God and we inhale. That is faith. The prayer of the faith, that is our breathing out to God, our desire. It is in that breathing, in and out, the promises taken in, the prayers crying out, that God fills his church with the Spirit. Not inflated balloons until we burst with our own enthusiasms, but the courage to live and to preach in the blessed healing of Jesus of Nazareth, our healing forever. So the building shook where they were. Not so that the bricks fell apart. This one, too, will be shaken till it falls apart. But the real shaking is not the stone. The real shaking is in us, where we are rattled loose from our self-willed church building and thrown off that foundation and carried to the rock who is precious and laid upon that foundation. That's how he shakes his church. This sermon was about the danger of being a gospeler in the midst of the church builders, master builders, making their own kingdom. The point of this sermon was that you and I might be full of the breath of the promises of Jesus, and that we might be passionate in our prayer to be bold in speaking that word. The presence of the Spirit is the courage to give that word to another. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus for life everlasting. I don't want to be a cranky old man in front of you, but I feel like the apostle. In vain have I instructed you. 2 years ago, I told you, when you were blessed by the pastor, or when the pastor says in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, or the pastor prays, don't sit there as if you think that the invisible church has also become the inaudible church. What does the church say when they are blessed? I can hardly hear you. My ears are going bad. What does it say when it is blessed? All right, please don't forget that. Otherwise, the next time I'm here, I think my instruction for you is in vain. And you who are going to be pastors, don't be such robbers. You're not doing a solo work up here preaching and showing how virtuous you are in preaching, leading prayers and show how well you can pray, and you jam the amen even before the people have a chance to blink their eyes. Shush up. You've done your work. Now let the church tell you, you are not a soloist. You are a leader of the whole company. So let me bless you again. The blessing of God Almighty, the most merciful Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you today and forever. That's better.